In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Great to be here with you as we start another week. And back from pilgrimage, had an awesome time in Italy on the Eucharistic Miracles of Italy pilgrimage. Was fantastic. I'm going to spend more time this week talking about my experience there, but probably I would say right now of all the Eucharistic miracles that we had a chance to experience, probably the one that that moved me personally the most was Siena. Now, Orvieto was great. Don't get me wrong; all those other ones were incredible. But you know, to see hosts up close, because the priest was there, was able to open up the tabernacle. There were stairs that go up, and you get to walk right up, like inches from the ciborium. It's a see-through ciborium. You can actually see the hosts. They're over 300 years old. And they looked like they were consecrated that same morning. That was just incredible to see that. Obviously, Orvieto and Lanciano are amazing Eucharistic miracles as well. And they were powerful. It was awesome to spend time in adoration before all those manifestations of our Lord in those Eucharistic miracles. But for me, and I'm not sure why that was, but the Siena one just caught me. It just really just brought me in, you know, and it was absolutely awesome. Would love for you to join us. We're going to be doing this pilgrimage again next year, next October. It's going to be awesome. So love for you to join us. Well, today we have a special guest that's going to be joining us in the next segment, Father Daniel Klimek. He's going to talk about his book with Jesus and Mary, Reflections on the Rosary. You know, that's a topic that's near and dear to our heart here at Beacon of Truth. You know, we have our own Reflections on the Rosary called Christ Our Life. We're walking through each of the mysteries of the Rosary. And those are always very, very popular shows. Tons and tons of calls. So there's something about the Rosary, something about devotion to our Lord through the heart of His Blessed Mother that's really important in connecting with people. And so we're going to talk about that today with Father Daniel Klimek, again with his book, With Jesus and Mary, Reflections on the Rosary. And of course, we'd love for you to join us today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And, you know, when we have a guest on, we're going to move the Soulful Psalm segments to this first part of the show, which we're going to do right now. My friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms, we take one of the Psalms from the Sefer Tehillim, or the Book of Sung Praises from the Wisdom Literature of the Old Testament, and we connect that Psalm that we hear in every Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, we connect it to your everyday lived experience. Well, today we're going to take a look at the last couple verses of Psalm 56. So we know that Psalm 56 is in Book 2 of the Psalms, which is Psalms 42 to 72, and Psalms 51 to 72 are all written by David. So Psalm 56 is, of course, written by the one and only King David, who, of course, wrote most of the Psalms. The prescript or superscript is the entire first verse of this Psalm. It says, Lemenzeach. I'll just do it in English. In tone like the dove of distant places, Michtam HaDavid, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. All right, so again, this is part of the persecution that David was experiencing. We see that in 1 Samuel, it's like 17 through 24 or 25, the whole persecution of Saul. We see that David has the idea of going to Gath, where the Philistines live. Remember when he killed Goliath, he was Goliath of Gath. So he thought, no, you know, Saul would not think of looking for me here, you know, which actually is pretty smart on his part. And he goes to Gath to hide from Saul. And so he wrote this psalm, and this is beautiful way this psalm started off in verse 2. Have mercy on me, God, O God, for people assail me. They fight me all day long and oppress me. So David just comes out like, Lord, here's what's going on. Of course, he knows that the Lord already knows what's going on. But, you know, we still have to state the problem. You know, he still, you know, he says, here's what's going on in my life right now, Lord. And so it's just a beautiful psalm of how his enemies are twisting his words, are persecuting him, and how he has confidence that the Lord will come to his aid, will come to his help, to bring him help and comfort and protection in the day of evil. And so we're going to take a look at the last couple of verses here, verses 13 and 14. So 13 starts off, I am bound by the vows I have made you. All right, so that's really important, being bound by vows. Because, you know, when God established, tried to establish a covenant in the Old Testament with us, you know, we put ourselves, when we say yes to that covenant, we, in a sense, put ourselves under a curse, right? And so with all the six covenants of the Old Testament, with Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, and then Jeremiah, we see that God establishes a covenant, and we give our yes to that covenant. We place ourselves under a curse, and we make vows to the Lord. So these vows were made for us at our baptism, right? By our parents and godparents made vows on our behalf. But then, of course, when we get married or when we get ordained, in the Sacrament of Holy Orders, you know, there's also vows involved with those as well. Vows that we make to God, you know. So it's important to understand that we are bound by the vows. Why? Not because we freely chose those to be under those vows. You know, in covenant relationship, it's free and faithful and total and fruitful. It's a complete gift of self one to the other. And it's a symbiotic relationship. It's a gift of the self-emptying love that we pour out, and that love is poured back to us in covenant relationship. And obviously, that's first and foremost with Almighty God. So all the other sacraments lead us into that deeper intimacy and relationship with the Lord. But the ones I'm thinking particularly about here with regard to David is the sacrament of matrimony and sacrament of holy orders, and baptism, that we're bound by these vows that we made to the Lord, that we have to be faithful to him. And I think David brings this up here toward the end of the psalm. Remember, he starts off talking about how he's asking God for mercy because of persecution. But David still remembers that he is under the vows of the Lord, and that that when you place yourself under those vows, that you are being faithful to God, and God will also be faithful to you. So in a sense, David's kind of reminded the Lord, remember, I made these vows to you. We entered into this covenant, and I realize I am bound by the vows. It means I am faithful to you. So Lord, you are also bound by the vow, right? So you show your faithfulness to me as well. Beautiful. So I am bound by the vows I've made you. Oh God, I will offer you praise. Hallel. I will offer you praise. So one of the ways that we honor God and reverence God and respect God is by giving him praise, honoring, glorifying, respecting our Lord, and offering. And how do we offer praise? Not just with our mouths, but with our hearts. By the witness of our lives is how we give praise to God. For you have rescued my soul from death. You have kept my feet from stumbling. See, David already is anticipating that God will be faithful to the covenant promises, and that he will rescue him from his enemies. He will rescue him from sadness and oppression. He will keep his feet from stumbling. Now he may trip, but he's not going to fall. Why? Because the Lord upholds him, right? The Lord sustains him. The Lord is his support, his strong help and his strong support. I love that. That I may walk in the presence of God, in the light of the living. Right, so he's going to walk in the presence of God, right? And so when we go into the church for the holy sacrifice of the Mass, when we go before him in Eucharistic adoration, we are in the presence of the Lord. You know, in that presence of the Lord emits the light of truth, the light of faith, the light of God's immeasurable love inexhaustible love for us, unfathomable the divine mercy and love that he has for us. And that is the light that shines in the darkness of our culture. Right. And in that moment is God. David understands that God is faithful to him. God is the light that will shine in the darkness of his own heart, the darkness of his life, and bring the light of his truth and bring him out of his sadness, out of misery, to the joy of the Lord that David so wants to experience. And so the same with all of us as well. All right. Our guest today is Father Daniel Klimek. We're going to talk about his book, With Jesus and Mary, Reflections on the Rosary. Would love for you to join us today. Give us a call, 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986.
I've been at the theater all weekend, so I'm kind of in this place.
Yeah, I like that. A little ragtime feel.
Right?
Like, that's very nice.
Well, I told you about the Joe Jackson album where he pulled all the Follies. So those of us who grew up in the 80s, you know the name Joe Jackson. Go Google it if you don't. But he got access to like all the ragtime stuff and the Follies stuff from back in the day and then replenished it. Kept it true to its form, and then released an album last year, and so it's a different side of him, but I like it.
Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, he's known for doing things like that. I remember he recorded a live album once, where the crowd was there, it was live, but he told them not to clap or make any noise at all.
Right.
So he wanted to have the live feel.
Yeah.
Like with the band playing in front of an audience, but with no reaction from the audience at all.
Right.
When you guys like, wow, that's kind of strange. Because usually you like the crowd noise, you hear the crowd cheering and that kind of thing. But he wanted it quiet, like a studio. So that's very interesting.
It's all good stuff.
I'm Deacon Halberg, Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have a very special guest, Father Daniel Klimek, to talk to us about his book, With Jesus and Mary, Reflections on the Rosary. And of course, we would love to have you join us. We always get lots of calls. We talk about our Blessed Mother, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Of course, as we are celebrating National Vocation Awareness Week, all this week we get a chance to really talk about priesthood, the diaconate, all of the things that go within that commitment, in that calling, in that service of your life. Find out ways to renew your commitment, and of course, prayers that go along with that, all through EWTN Radio and our website. Go to EWTN.com to find out more.
All right, my friends, it's time for me to introduce our very special guest today, Father Daniel Maria Klimek. He's a Third Order Franciscan Friar and Assistant Professor of Theology at Franciscan University of Steubenville, where I just was this past weekend giving a keynote at a retreat for deacons. And he's host of the show Living the Message on Mary TV. He's the author of the award-winning book For the Love of Mary. And we're talking about his new book today, With Jesus and Mary, Reflections on the Rosary, which is available from Emmaus Road Press. And so it's my great pleasure to welcome to Beacon of Truth, Father Daniel Klimek. Father, welcome to the show.
Deacon, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. So for the people who aren't familiar, this is your first time on the show, so people may not be familiar with you. And so you just share us a little bit of maybe about your background, maybe your vocation story, how you discern your vocation, and then specifically to the Franciscans, and then tell us a little bit about your work at Steubenville.
Sure. Yeah. And actually, Deacon, the biography that you have of me is not perfectly up to date. Currently, I am actually with the Marians in Stockbridge.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah,
wonderful.
Yeah. So that's part of the vocation story. That's part of the vocation story. So perfect segue. Yeah, you know, I grew up in Chicago, a Polish-American family. Both of my parents are from Poland, and I wasn't a devout person. We were culturally Catholic. We went to Sunday every Sunday we went to Mass because of our Polish tradition. But part of my lack of devotion was – I didn't know whether the supernatural is real. I didn't know whether the mystical is real. I remember taking a class in college at DePaul University about the New Testament. And I was thinking to myself, if the miracles of Jesus are not real, if the healings are not real, if the incarnation and resurrection are not real, then he's just another moral teacher, a moral wise teacher, and nothing unique. And where the Lord really opened my eyes, my spiritual eyes, we could say, to a deeper supernatural reality, it was my senior year of college. Somebody gave me a book, Medjugorje, The Message by Wayne Weibel. I read about Our Lady's apparitions in Medjugorje. I began to study more the mystical phenomena throughout the church, from the various Marian apparitions to the stigmatics, to the visionaries and mystics, those who have given us passion narratives. And it just fascinated me. You know, my doctoral dissertation, I went on to do a PhD at the Catholic University of America. And my doctoral dissertation was on how scientific studies, medical neuroscientific studies, were used to investigate the Marian apparitions in Medjugorje, how the science challenges a whole history of prominent atheists, from David Hume to Sigmund Freud to Richard Dawkins, who've had all these reductionistic theories about mystical experiences, that it must be hallucination or epilepsy or some form of pathology. But in Medjugorje, I found out the visionaries have been subjected to intense scientific studies, electroencephalograms measuring their brain waves and other such technologies, showing that there's no epilepsy, there's no hallucination, there's no form of pathology, but they do enter a profound altered state of consciousness that is scientifically unexplainable during their apparitions. And so I realized that if you actually look at science and how it has been used to measure mystical phenomena, it actually supports the integrity of many visionaries and their experiences. So it became a type of wedding of faith and reason in terms of my interests. When I was at Catholic University, I met a group of Franciscan friars. They introduced me to Catholic charismatic spirituality. It was a deeper opening into the world of the supernatural. I encountered people who, you know, pray for healing, even physical healings, who pray in tongues, who prophesy, who work in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I was a Franciscan friar for a number of years, was ordained with the friars. I taught at Steubenville in the theology department. And then last year, I felt a call to the Marians of the Immaculate Conception. And I have said yes to that calling. Our Lady made it clear that this would be a place where my priesthood would flourish more. And currently, I'm at the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy with Father Chris Aylar and others, working at the evangelization office for the Marians.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, I was in Stockbridge for the first time last year.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. I was bringing a group of Australian speakers to the United States, and we were doing a tour of the East Coast, started in Florida, ended up in Pennsylvania, but made our way up to Boston and to Stockbridge, and gave us talks there in the church. It was my first time there. Yeah. It was beautiful. And I know that there's a campaign to raise funds to do some construction and building there as well. So we'll continue to pray for that. That's awesome. Father, how did your book come about with Jesus and Mary Reflections on the Rosary?
You know, it really began with a relationship with one of my former colleagues at Steubenville. You probably know very well, Dr. Scott Hahn. Mm-hmm. He's someone who I have done retreats for him and his employees at the St. Paul Center, and eventually that relationship led to me being asked to write books with the publishing house of the St. Paul Center, Emmaus Press. One of my former books, For the Love of Mary, is with Emmaus, and then this invitation came to write about the mysteries of the Rosary because of my own deep devotion to Our Lady, deep devotion to the Rosary, and Mariology was also something that I've taught and continue to teach in other formats. And also what the book really possesses is that love of mysticism, you know, so because it's Meditations of the Rosary, of course, scripture is very present, but I've also included the wisdom of the great mystics. So to give an example, when we have the sorrowful mystery of the scourging at the pillar, in the scriptures, of course, the passage is so short, you know, then Pilate had him scourged. So creating a meditation out of that, I used the wisdom of Saint Faustina in her diary. In section 445, she has a famous visionary experience where she speaks about, or she sees, the Lord showed her a vision of his scourging, and eventually she saw the executioners leaving, and people throughout the centuries, bishops, priests, religious, prominent lay people taking the whips and doing the scourging unmercifully. And then Jesus said to her, "This is how I suffer because of sins of the flesh." And I wanted to incorporate that to allow people to understand that some of these mysteries are so intimately connected to our moral lives, to our struggles, to the fight for purity, to know that when somebody comes into the confessional and confesses a pornography addiction or a regular addiction of the flesh, to allow them to understand, you know, in terms of fighting it, in terms of making an effort, in terms of praying, fasting, sacrificing, asking for God's grace, asking for Our Lady's intercession. It's a way of honoring Jesus's passion. It's a way of saying, "Lord Jesus, I no longer want to scourge you. I no longer want to hurt you, because he lives within you through your baptism. And that means that he is so intimately connected to you that when you are cut through your sin, he bleeds, he feels it." And so to truly try to get Catholics to understand with the mysteries, we're not just meditating on historical events. Yes, they're ancient historical events of the utmost importance, the lives of Jesus and Mary, but these historical events have a deep spiritual communion to your person and to your life.
Wow, that's absolutely beautiful. You know, Father, on our show here, a couple of times a month, because I want to spread it out. We've been there's a segment of the show called Christ Our Life, and what I was doing was going through each of the mysteries of the Rosary, kind of in the order of Christ's life. So the joyful mysteries, then the luminous mysteries, then the sorrowful mysteries, and the glorious mysteries. And I did that because on pilgrimage earlier this year, we prayed the Rosary on the bus every day. And there were some people there, you know, because people are different places in their faith. And someone, you know, they were just honest. They're like, "You know, I struggle with the Rosary, you know." And I've heard that from a number of people. So I said, "You know, let's do a series of shows where we just reflect on these mysteries." And we always get tons and tons of calls with regard to that. So when we come back from the break, Father, I want to talk about, why do you think people are so interested in the Blessed Mother, especially right now? You know, we know about the apparitions over the years, but why is she particularly important right now? So we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. Father Daniel Klimek of the MICs is with us today to talk about his book on Reflections on the Rosary. We'd love for you to join us. 833-288-EWTN.
Where are you going to guess on this one? Grits ain't groceries, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost like that kind of Saturday Night Live intro music kind of feel.
Yeah.
You know? That's cool, though.
It's that the storytelling mindset. Like, it's where you know the verses are going to go deep, and then the chorus are going to have a little fun, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And definitely instrumentation plays that out for sure.
Yeah. Missing some doo-wops, but other than that, it's all there.
All right. Good selection today, Ace, to start off our week of shows.
Yes, sir.
Oh, awesome. All right. I'm Deacon Harold Brick-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we have our very special guest, Father Daniel Klimek of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception up in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. He's here with us today to talk about his great new book from Emmaus Road Press, with Jesus and Mary, Reflections on the Rosary. Would love to hear from you today. Your thoughts about the power of the rosary or anything about he teaches Mariology, anything about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call to talk to Father Klimek. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
I want to say congratulations, celebrating 15 years. Laura and Tom and the team at WOPG AM and FM doing their part at Pax et Bonum Radio. Of course, now as they celebrate 15, we look forward to 15 more and beyond. Thanks to your financial support for helping to make that a reality in any of the Catholic radio stations that you are supporting. Thank you for keeping it strong and using it to deepen your walk with God with EWTN Radio.
All right. Again, we're with Father Daniel Maria Klimek, who's a priest of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception up in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. He also is a Mariologist, and he wrote an awesome new book published by the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology's one of their publishing arms called the Emmaus Road Press. And the book is called With Jesus and Mary, Reflections on the Rosary. Now, Father, right at the end of the break, I just wanted to ask you, why do you think there's so much attraction to the Blessed Mother now in our culture? You talked about atheism. We got more relativism. We got the woke movement. We got all these different things going on. But yet, people seem to be drawn and attracted to the Blessed Mother, to her message, even non-Catholics. You know, so I just want to, and that's why your book is so important, but why do you think that is, Father?
Yeah, that is such a great question. I think that there's at least two components. One is something that we've already touched on, the supernatural. You know, Pope Benedict, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, in his famous book of interviews, the Ratzinger Report, there's a section where he's asked about Marian apparitions. And he says that in a culture inundated by the ideologies of rationalism and positivism, the world of Marian apparitions, especially in Lourdes and Fatima, shows us that the supernatural is real. The fact that God has decided to use his mother, to use Our Lady in these supernatural manifestations, so many apparitions throughout the centuries, to show us that his miraculous power is not some myth of the past, but a burning reality of the present. And I think that a second component that's extremely important is her feminine maternal beauty. There is something in our biology, in our souls, that yearns towards the maternal, that has a special relationship with a mother, that understands that in a healthy family, of course, both father and mother are necessary. And it's interesting because sometimes when it comes to Marian devotion, you know, people can look at it from this type of subtracting paradigm, like this takes away from Jesus. But instead of looking at it from a subtracting paradigm, we need to look at it from an additional adding paradigm. No, this doesn't take away from Jesus. God gave us a family, a holy family. We have a Savior. We have a holy mother. And that maternal quality, it's important. She shows us a feminine gentleness, but with a strength, because she is still the one who stomps on the serpents below her foot, who is used prominently in the ministry of exorcism and spiritual warfare, but who has that gentle, loving, maternal heart of the mother that I think speaks to every human being. Doesn't matter whether they're Catholic, Protestant, Buddhist, Muslim, there is something in the human psyche and our biology and our intuition and our soul that is oriented towards the love of a mother, and Our Lady represents it like no one else.
Oh, absolutely agree. So beautifully said. You know, and as you were speaking, Father, my mind was drawn to Genesis chapter 2, where it says it's not good for man to be alone, so you want to create a helper fit for him, and it's Ezer Kenegdo. And Ezer in Hebrew is help, but when you look at how that word Ezer is used, it always, well, it's one of two things. It means help, divine help, help from God, or help from a king, you know. And kenegdo is preposition stand opposite or parallel to the person. So this is someone who stands opposite of the man, who provides help from God. That's the woman, you know. In fact, if you look at how Ezer kenegdo, those two words together are used in some parts of scripture, it's used to describe a relationship with that person who stands opposite and parallel to you, helps, aids, assists, surrounds, and protects in battle. In battle. So in a sense, and Louis, I think St. Louis de Montfort brings this out beautifully about Mary being like a warrior, you know, for in our faith, to help us against the power of sin, that the Blessed Mother is a warrior who stomps on the head of Satan. But yet, in that wonderful, beautiful, feminine way, still has that, as you said so beautifully, Father, that beautiful maternal heart. And I think, and I could not agree with you more. I think those two attributes are exactly, I think, what's drawing people in, the supernatural and the motherly elements of the Blessed Mother as well. I think that acts as a counterbalance to all of the anger and the frustration and the division and the vitriol and all these things that characterize so much of what's going on in our culture today. The Blessed Mother and devotion to her, Immaculate Heart, I think is the counter to the other things that we're seeing in the culture, which I think makes your book so incredibly important. So Father, you gave us an example in one of the sorrowful mysteries of scourging at the pillar. So when you were putting this together, these are your personal reflections, and you used reflections from the saints and the mystics as well. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. And so who are some of the mystics that you, I mean, obviously the ones that come to mind, right? So St. Louis de Montfort and John Paul II, and those saints who had a particular devotion to the Blessed Mother. But who are some of the other saints and mystics that you use in the book as well?
Yeah, absolutely. One is a 20th century mystic. She was a prominent English writer, Catholic writer and mystic, named Carol Houselander. And I used her example anecdotally. It was in the Sorrowful Mystery, the Crowning with Thorns. And Carol Houselander, she shares a story when she was a little girl. She was sent to boarding school. And in this boarding school that was run by French sisters, there was one sister who was from Bavaria. She didn't speak French. She didn't speak English. She only spoke German. So she had difficulty fitting in. She felt isolated, alienated, a heaviness upon her. And one day, Carol Houselander, as a child, she's walking by in the hallway. She sees this sister cleaning shoes in her room, cleaning the children's shoes. So she walks in. She walks up towards her. And as the sister raises her eyes, she noticed tears on the sister's face. She's crying. She's very sad. And it was an awkward moment. And then Carol has one of her first mystical experiences as a child. All of a sudden, she sees the crown of thorns on the sister's head. And she says to her, I wouldn't be crying like you if I was wearing the crown of thorns like you are. And of course, the sister was startled. But I love this anecdote from a real person of the 20th century, prominent Catholic writer, because what it shows us is sometimes when we are going through trials, through difficulties, through misunderstanding, through isolation and alienation, we do not always comprehend that this may be a special participation in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. This may be a special participation in the crowning of thorns. I began that chapter by saying, if you or a loved one suffer from any type of mental health issue, whether it's depression, anxiety, bipolar, schizophrenia, you are partaking in the crown of thorns. There is a special intimacy that you have with the Lord Jesus. You know, my mother currently suffers with dementia and schizophrenia. And once when I walked into her room in the midst of her suffering, I just felt like the Lord Jesus was saying to me, this is the most sacred place in the house. This is the soul who has the most special participation in my crown of thorns with the mental illness that she has to suffer with. And it allowed me to look at the illness and her struggle with a greater sacred dignity, a dignity that sees a deep communion and intimacy with Jesus crucified through that sorrow. And another mystic that I wanted to mention is the Venerable Maria of Agreda, the Spanish mystic who gave us the Mystical City of God, multi-volume work based on her visions of the life of Our Lady. And Maria of Agreda has a profound insight that other mystics have made as well. And the insight is that it was Our Lady who had the first experience of invisible stigmata, that during our Lord's passion, Our Lady prayed a special prayer to the Father. She said, Father, please allow me to suffer with him. Please take away all consolation and allow me to physically feel all that he's going to feel, because Father, it would be more difficult for me to see him suffer alone than to have the privilege of suffering with him. And according to Maria of Agreda's revelations, the Father did grant this special grace, and Our Lady did feel in her body the nails, the crown, the scourging during the Lord's Passion. Other mystics, you know, the Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, also portray Our Lady as the first experience of stigmata in her body. The Italian Saint Veronica Giuliani, the Capuchin, in her diary, she also has that perception. So I actually used it, this depiction of Our Lady as the first stigmatic, in the joyful mystery of the presentation in the temple, because as Simeon speaks his prophecy to Our Lady, and a sword shall pierce your heart. This also speaks to how St. John of the Cross understood stigmata. St. John of the Cross, the mystical doctor, he wrote that stigmata begins as a wound of love in the heart, a piercing in the heart, and then extends to other parts of the body. So if we understand it that way, then Simeon's prophecy can be multi-layered, not only speaking about the grief that Our Lady will experience at her son's torture and death, but also about the mystical interior piercing of her heart that may very well begin her experience of stigmata as she shares in the sufferings of her son. And something that I'll never forget, you know, once I was doing a book signing and I gave the talk at the book signing and I shared about this stigmata possibility for Our Lady, a woman came up to me at the book signing. She said to me, you know, Father, it's not difficult for me to believe that Our Lady felt the wounds of Jesus in her body. Because Father, when my daughter was raped, I felt it in my body as if it was happening to me. And that was a mind-blowing revelation, obviously very disturbing, very, very sad that it happened at her daughter had to experience that, but also a mind-blowing reality in terms of realizing the depths of union, biologically, intuitively, spiritually, that a mother has with her child, where sometimes she can feel exactly what the child is experiencing, including the child's pain. So it just gave further confirmation to the possibility that Our Lady, in fact, like the mystics say, was the first one to experience holy stigmata.
Wow, that is profoundly beautiful. I'm Deacon Hal Burke. Sarah's listening to Beacon of Truth, and we're with Father Daniel Klimek, with the Marians of the Immaculate Conception in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, talking about his great new book, With Jesus and Mary, Reflections on the Rosary. Would love to hear from you, your thoughts about the Rosary, any question you have about the Blessed Mother, because Father Klimek is also a Mariologist. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Give us a call to talk with Father Klimek. Just great, great reflections today on the Rosary. So, Father, as you were putting this book together, doing the reflections on each of the mysteries of the Rosary, which one for you personally kind of stood out? Which ones, because obviously you pray the Rosary every single day like I do, but which ones as you were putting this book together kind of stood out to you, really spoke to you and to your heart?
You know, I've always had a deep devotion to the Passion. So the Sorrowful Mysteries speak to me in a very intimate way. I've, since I was a high school student, which is when I first saw Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ, those images have affected me profoundly. And then I've read a number of mystics who've had revelations of the Passion. And I really believe that there is no greater act of love and intimacy than that which you will find at Calvary. I even included in my advice when I am hearing confessions, you know, sometimes when people say to me in the confessional too casually, you know, I missed Mass a few times on Sundays, I didn't feel like it, I was traveling, just very casually, you know, I really want to emphasize to them, you need to realize this isn't just obligation. You need to see the Holy Mass as an act of intimacy, a response of love to the fact that Jesus died for you, shed his blood for you, was tortured for you, was humiliated for you, that Our Lady wept at the foot of the cross, had to see her child murdered in front of her so that you may have life, that the gates of heaven may be opened. And that so many mystics and saints, you know, at the Mass, they have seen the veil lifted. They have seen the supernatural. They see that the altar is surrounded by the angels and the saints, and the Holy Mother stands by the side of the priest. And there is a re-experiencing of the Lord's Passion as he gives us his body and blood. So I included that meditation in the Sorrowful Mysteries because I really believe that the heart of love is present in how much Jesus and our Holy Mother suffered for us. Whenever I have a chance to preach a wedding Mass, I will say to the couple that is getting married, I will say to them, your greatest expression of intimacy will not be proven in the marriage beds, but it's going to be proven at the hospital beds when the other one is suffering, when something happens that is difficult, when you need to love them in good times and in bad, when you need to be with them at the foot of the cross. That's where love is shown and proven, because it was easy to follow Jesus when he worked miracles, when he was popular, when he exorcised demons, when there were crowds who loved him. But after he's betrayed, when you no longer see the transfigured face of God, but you're witnessing the disfigured face of God, only a handful of disciples are left. Only Our Lady, the Magdalene, John the Beloved, a few female disciples, the rest abandoned him and betrayed him. So true love is shown at the cross. That is the place of ultimate intimacy. So those are the mysteries that really speak to me.
Oh, absolutely beautiful. We're talking with Father Daniel Klimek today of the Marians of the Immaculate Conception about his awesome new book, available from Emmaus Road Press, with Jesus and Mary, Reflections on the Rosary. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the Rosary. If you have any questions about the Blessed Mother for Father Klimek, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Erin is calling from North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. I'll be there tomorrow at the fundraiser in Fargo. Erin, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello.
Hi, great to hear from you.
I just wanted to comment. A couple of minutes ago, you and Father were talking about how Mary would have felt all of Jesus's passion in her body, and how the woman had commented that when her daughter was assaulted, she felt it in her own body. That goes to maternal fetal microchimerism, where when a woman is pregnant, she retains some of the baby's cells in her body, and the baby retains the mother's cells in its body.
Yeah, that's a beautiful reality. In fact, with every pregnancy, whether that pregnancy ends with birth, whether sadly it's a miscarriage, or whether tragically the child may be aborted, the mother has the cells of every pregnancy, the child of every pregnancy that she carries in her body for the rest of her life. And in fact, science is showing that those, when the mother's body is attacked by like a virus or an infection, that not only her white blood cells, but the cells of that child will also come to the mother's aid in her defense. So absolutely beautiful, beautiful connection, Erin. And thank you so much for letting our audience know about the beauty of microchimerism. Again, Father talked about early in the show about the biological the scientific evidence. And this is scientific. You know, you have the mother retains the cells of every child in her body, and so did the Blessed Mother. So did the Blessed Mother. Love this. We're talking with Father Daniel Klimek today about his great book with Jesus and Mary, Reflections on the Rosary, by Emmaus Road Press. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Any thoughts about microchimerism there, Father?
Yeah, it's a profound reality. You know, I know that certain Mariologists, maybe this will make some people uncomfortable, but I know that certain Mariologists who have a very maximalist Marian perspective will even apply that to the Eucharist. They will say, you know, even if the child retains some of the mother's cells and we're receiving the body of Christ in the Eucharist, is there a reception that also may be potentially Marian? And it's an interesting perspective. You know, it's an interesting perspective. I certainly know why some people would feel maybe uncomfortable with that, but it's a fascinating theological speculation. I mean, it certainly speaks to the profound intimacy between Jesus and Mary, the parallels, as you mentioned before, Deacon, the sin came into the world through a man and a woman, Adam and Eve, and therefore it was the new Adam and the new Eve through his redemption, Christ's redemption, and Our Lady's unique participation that allowed redemption to enter.
Yeah, absolutely beautiful. Again, we're talking with Father Daniel Klimek about his great book with Jesus and Mary, Reflections on the Rosary. He's been sharing some very profound reflections on the Rosary, the Blessed Mother, and her Immaculate Heart. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So, Father, what are some last thoughts that you want to share with us before we wrap up today? And how can people get a hold of this great book?
And so the book is available on the publisher's website, stpaulcenter.com, and also available on Amazon. Final thoughts are, I love the wisdom of St. John Paul II when it comes to the Rosary. You know, John Paul II said that the Rosary is an encounter of love, that we need to enter the prayer with a psychology of love, that we are encountering Our Lady, a person, and we're meditating on her son's life and her memories, because she lived through these memories, and to realize it's not just repetition, it is encountering a person and delving into the depths of her son's life and how she participated in it. So to see the intimacy of the encounter.
Beautiful. Father Daniel Klimek with us, the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, talking about his book, With Jesus and Mary, Reflections on the Rosary. All right. Well, tomorrow our topic is going to be, is violence a way to solve problems? Part two. Looking forward to that. And I'll be at Real Presence Radio fundraiser in Fargo, North Dakota. So come and join us. And until then, Father, can you give us a blessing?
Absolutely. May the five wounds of Christ give you strength. May the Blessed Virgin protect you. May the-